You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Toyota RAV4, the Hyundai Tucson.
Top of the morning to you on this final Monday of April. Hope you had a great weekend, and thanks so much for starting your week off with us. We need to get things started. How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. How was your weekend, my friend?
Ups and downs, David. Ups and downs.
Uh-oh. Downs? I don't want to hear that.
Things broke in the house that could be expensive.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Last night, getting ready to cook Sunday dinner for the family.
Uh-huh.
And the oven had an error light on it.
Huh.
Then the oven shut off. But the oven didn't shut off. It said it shut off. It went to maximum heat. And you couldn't turn the oven off. I have a gas oven.
Uh-huh.
So you had to, went online and looked, and it said, turn the breaker off. What the breaker has to do with the gas is beyond me, David, but fortunately, shutting the breaker off turned the oven off. Here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
That shut the oven off, the stove, the microwave, right. You know, the washer and dryer and other things.
Uh-oh.
So... Right. Wait for a minute, turn it back on. Turn it back on. Oven, full blast.
So let me get this straight. Just like all the technical issues in broadcasting, it's turn it off, turn it on. Apparently, that's the same solution to household appliances?
It's the solution for everything these days, David. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it back on. Wait a minute, turn it back on again. But that didn't work. So now today, after the show, it's... oven repair guy time, and there's no way that that's going to be inexpensive.
No. First off, a home visit. So, you know, right there you go.
Cha-ching. That's a quick thousand. That's basically the way I look at it anymore. Anytime someone shows up at your house to fix something, it's $1,000.
Right. I mean, the only time it's not is when our former producer Felipe comes over the house to hang the star on the top of the Christmas tree. That's about the only home delivery, if you will, or house visit that's less than $1,000. You're going to have to find a new Felipe, you know.
I know.
He moved to Miami.
I'm
got
aware.
A job. Yeah. So, Trent, now that's part of the job. I don't know if we laid that out in the job description when you got it, but if you're still here around Christmas, heck, if we're still here around Christmas, but if you're still here around Christmas, you got to hang the Christmas ornament at the top of the tree.
Answer the phones in the morning, post the podcast, hang Mark's wreath at Christmas.
That's it.
That's the job description.
There you go. Yep. And we'll get you like a $30 gift certificate to, you know, the ham place. Just enough to not cover any single item in the place. That's my favorite Christmas gift from a place that I work. They gave us the ham certificates that were not enough money to buy a single ham that was in the store. That's my favorite. I even enjoy that one more than all the times I didn't get a Christmas bonus of any time, which was most every place I've ever worked. But my favorite Christmas bonus was the one that didn't cover a single ham in the store.
Well, I could use a ham right about now, David. That's all I'm saying. I could use something.
Well, your problem is also apparently the microwave's connected to it. So you're going to have to, you're going to have to dine the way we do. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have delivery. You're not going to be cooking. And you're the cook.
No, I'm aware.
Uh-oh. This will be great, though, with all the games that you take your daughter to and you're coming home at night. Just grab some food on the way home. Your wife can grab some food on the way home from work. I mean, it'll be fine. Honestly, people can go years living that way. Years. Lifetimes, even.
I'll go broke, but sure. Because I don't eat at Little Caesars and fast food restaurants, so.
I understand. Well, this is where, you know, for a few days, maybe you can't be the food snob, and I say that affectionately, okay, that you are. You just have to, you know, times, you know, force one to behave differently. You know, it's kind of like the Vancouver Canucks in goal right now. Three goalies and three wins. I mean, that's kind of where you are right now. I mean, that, you know, you can't eat probably where you want to eat the next few days. That's all. You got to do with what you have. You may go to an establishment that is the equivalent of calling up the AHL goalie. You got to do what you got to do. You just got to get through the series. That's the way you need to look at the first few days of this week. You're like the Canucks trying to get through the Preds. You're just trying to get through the series. You know, what you don't want to do is become the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, essentially, you're without Giannis and Lillard here. Okay, you know, stove and microwave. I mean, you know, this is tough to get by. You're on the verge of getting eliminated from the playoffs here. You gotta get creative.
I feel like you're right. You're right. I got to dig deep, David. Yeah. Let's throw some cliches out there and let's get
right
after it.
You're the Heat without Butler and Rozier here. You know, I mean, what is the food equivalent to making 23 threes? You got to figure it out. Come on, Spo. Get creative. It's not the way you want to play, i.e., not the way you want to eat. You know, desperate times. Just got to get through until you get Butler and Rozier back, until you get Demko back, until you get Giannis and Dame back.
Boy, I think you went through every series there, but I feel like the Rays that I got swept by the White Sox over the weekend.
Well, you know what? The Rays went to the South Side and they tried to keep eating at the places that they normally eat at when they visit Chicago. They're not as healthy as they've been in the past. They're not as good as they've been in the last 10 years. And guess what? They went up to pay and they gave them their credit card and they said, you don't have insufficient funds, man. This ain't going to work. Yeah, how about that? Rays getting swept by the White Sox.
Remember this weekend, Rays fans. Because the difference between a wild card and missing the playoffs very well could have been the three-game sweep at the hands of the Chicago White Sox. It's as bad of a weekend as you could have in sport.
You mean a team that was 3-22
yeah,
when you showed up having lost 7 in a row and you didn't just lose the best of 3, you got swept, which is a good thing that you and I didn't talk, because I was going to say, however much money we have left in the account, don't you have to bet the Rays on Sunday against the White Sox? Come on. They're not going to get swept. They were swept. So, anyway. Mark, you need to be like the Dolphins were with the draft. Okay, they only had like, 5-6 picks and didn't have a third and a fourth rounder, and they got creative. They traded back into the fourth round, ended up with like 6 picks after all. Hell, there are people that think they won the draft. There are people that think nobody did more with less than the Dolphins. The Dolphins are getting damn near universal praise from the pundits. I don't know if they're getting praise from their fans, because their fans are like, yeah, we needed a center or a guard. What am I missing here? The offensive lineman you drafted is a tackle. What happened to the plug and play lineman? Huh? No? So... it's the beauty of the draft, right? Everybody's right or everybody's wrong. Okay, 100%. Everybody's right, in fact. If you think your team sucked, did a terrible job, you're right.
I was going to say, everybody, whatever everybody. Their opinion is on the draft right now is correct. Because
yes.
We have no idea.
Everybody's right. My team did a horrible job. Absolutely. My team had an awesome draft.
It was fun. My daughter had a soccer tournament over the weekend, so I talked to a lot of dads. And all of them were right about the draft, David. Every one of them.
Every one. And did every one of their teams, by the way, nail it? Get it right. This is my favorite Saturday night, Sunday morning, one of my favorite moments of the sports year. Reading the reviews that the experts give as to how the teams did in the draft. Mark, it's amazing. It's amazing. All of the misses that take place in the draft. It's well known for decades. Okay, you're lucky if you get half your picks that turn out to be good, productive players. Yet, Mark, I read where essentially 31 of 32 teams got a B or higher on their draft. Every single person who broke down the draft, okay, basically handed out 31 B's or nays.
We really should print out the whole draft list and do a good job of keeping track during camp of how many guys are just cut that were drafted. Then take the next year and find out how many guys don't even make it to a second year on the team that get cut and go from there. Because that's when you can evaluate a draft. Probably two, three years after the draft.
Yeah. Usually they say 3 years go back. That's why we went back, took a look at the 2021 draft, and, you know, the verdict's in. Four of the top 15 players were quarterbacks who have already been cut or traded by the teams that drafted them. Yeah, so it's like, And so we had six of the top 12 this year be quarterbacks. So clearly the 2024 class, which is going to be compared to the 83 class because it's the last draft with six quarterbacks going the first round, but it's also going to be compared to the 2021 draft because five went in the top 15 and here six went in the top 12. So there we go. But I will say the one team that a lot of draft quote-unquote experts, and I'm doing the air quotes there, by the way. I hope everybody could sense that. The draft experts that they had no problem criticizing was Atlanta. Most people outside of Dan Orlovsky, most people are, you know, the whole Penix thing they didn't like.
And the funny part is, if Penix turns out to be good, you'll look back on this in 4 years and they will be geniuses in the draft for never having to have a gap in their quarterback room.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the last team to do this is Green Bay, and how's that worked out? Right. So the Falcons are copying the Packers model, and most every expert thinks they're an idiot. Miller and Moulton, proven to be a couple idiots. Yeah. 21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Gary Danielson, in about 40 minutes, we'll just talk a little bit about the draft, quarterbacks. I was talking to him over the weekend. He's got a few thoughts about some things.
I was going to ask you, did Gary kind of book himself?
Well, we had a long talk yesterday, kind of put the whole draft in perspective, but if I can. And for those that don't know, Gary and I are really good friends. All right. One of the best friends I've ever had in the world. And never mind what he's done for me professionally. And Gary is well aware of our hockey rules for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay. And particularly from a viewing standpoint about overtime. And Gary is attending game five of the Lightning and the Panthers tonight. He's attending. Okay, which, you know, he doesn't do a lot of.
No, he doesn't.
No, he's a homebody. You know, he's got a big family, and he's always around. I mean, heck, he's, you know, got 14 grandkids. I mean, you know, Mark, you think you have a busy schedule with your soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter between the three sports that he plays. I mean, for months he comes home and, you know, his wife, Christy's got the lineup. Okay, so-and-so's doing this, and so-and-so's doing this. And he's like, okay, that's what we're doing, where we're going. I mean, when I talk to him on the weekend, he's always at a game.
That's what you do.
Yeah, he's in the stands at a game. Right. So he's well aware of our overtime rules. And he is exactly the opposite. And so he's going to a game tonight. And he doesn't stick around for overtime. And so we got into a discussion. I'm like, you're going. You're the guest of someone. Someone is driving you to the game. you know, a little over 100 miles, and you're a guest. And then, so are you going to be able to exert, you know, because he's a, we're out of here. No, we're out of here. Okay, we'll get to the car during the intermission. We can listen to it on the way home. Hell, we may even get home before the game winner scored. We're out of here. I said, well, you got to come on the show. And because so I don't know what the answer is, because I said to you, before you come on the show, you have to talk to the person who invited you. And you have to say, listen, just so you know, here are the ground rules.
Wait a minute. First off, you don't get to declare the ground rules when you're riding with somebody else.
That's what I said. Okay.
I don't know who he thinks he is. Does he think he's Gary Danielson or something?
So I go, have you discussed this with your buddy? And he goes, you know, come to think of it, I think we're going to have to. And I go, are you going to do it before you get in the car? Are you going to do it on the way over? You know, could the excitement of the game change your mind? So anyway, so I'll be honest with you. I booked him just as a friend who wants to know the answer to the hockey playoff dispute tonight.
And think about it. It's a huge game. If it goes to overtime, it's either the series or we have a series.
Right. So anyway, maybe we'll get around to the draft. You know, the teams he liked and some of the players who ended up in places. Yeah, we'll see how much ground we cover. You know, we'll fit it in. And, yeah. And then, in our third hour of the show, we actually have people to talk about the draft. You know, Ian Cummings, Pro Football Network, who he liked, who he didn't. And since the Falcons are the talk of the draft, I thought, yeah, we should probably talk to somebody who covers the Falcons. So Aaron Freeman's going to join us in a couple hours. He covers the Falcons for a living. It's like, okay.
I don't have the memory you do. I've killed too many brain cells over the course of my life, David. And so I always have at least one thing on today where I have everybody's pick. So if we've got to get to a team, I can get there quickly. And I didn't print out everybody's, but I've got something sitting here. And I read a few of them over the weekend. Did you find anybody that didn't have the Falcons 32nd?
On the draft?
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky is the only guy I know who likes what they did with Penix. No. Michael Lombardi thinks it's maybe the dumbest thing in the history of drafting. So, no. No, I told you, every grade that I've seen, people who hand out grades, 31 B minuses or higher, okay, and then the Falcons with a D. In some cases, an F. Because the other thing they didn't address, well, how about cornerback? They desperately needed a corner. And then I love this. The GM, when asked after the draft, hey, you guys needed corners. You said that going in the draft. You didn't draft a corner. Quote, well, we didn't want to reach on a pick. That's when you get in trouble. Which, of course, had everybody in the room going, can we talk about the guy you took at 8? I mean, most people thought that he, even if you needed a quarterback, that was a reach. Not everybody. Some people really like him. But then you throw in the fact that you just paid $180 million for a quarterback. 100 guaranteed. Can we talk about that first round pick again? So, all right.
I don't know about you, but I'm now rooting for Michael Penix. I don't want him to be good. I want him to be exceptional.
You're going to have to wait.
It's fine.
In theory. Okay.
That's fine. But I'm rooting for him.
I agree. When he finally gets in there, first off, I hope Cousins is phenomenal. And then after year two, he turns around and basically pulls an Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He turns around and looks at Atlanta and says, yeah, get me out of here. You don't want to keep me around. This is not going to go well. You guys made your bed. You did what you did. Now I'm making mine. Get me out of here. Well, Kirk, you've been phenomenal. You know, you took us to the NFC Championship game or what have you. Don't care. Don't care. Trade me to the Jets. Rodgers retired. I'm done. I've thrown my last football in Atlanta. Get me out of here. That's what I hope. I want the total soap opera. I want Cousins to be great. And then I want him to look right at him and say, well, Okay. You made your move 2 years ago. I'm making mine now. I'm done. What do you mean you're done? What part of done? Don't you understand? Done. House is already on the market.
So those are some of the things that I want to see. And I'm with you. I don't know if I want Kirk to be that good, because I have a soft spot for the Bucks. And if Kirk Cousins is really good, that means that someone's got to suffer at the hands of the Falcons, and that could very well be the Bucks.
I hear you. Here's another guy I want. How can you not root for Spencer Rattler? Because apparently the fifth round's unfolding, and Rattler hasn't been taken. People were surprised he didn't get taken late third, shocked he didn't get taken in the fourth round. So it's like, hey, why is Spencer Rattler still available? And all of a sudden, you know, Rappaport comes on NFL Network and says, you know, he was involved in a Netflix documentary when he was like a high school senior. Okay. And every NFL team I talk to, they still have the images of him in that document. He didn't come off very well.
As a high school kid.
You're right. Right. And they just can't get over it. And so then once somebody says it on NFL Network, now people start repeating it on the four-letter network. And it's like, hold on a second. So you mean people don't change between 18 and 22? Wait, he was immature at 18? Huh. I'll be damned. Really? Well, yeah, okay, absolutely. So now, you know, he gets picked in the fifth round by the Saints, and I'm like, oh, hell, I hope he's the next Brock Purdy. I really do. I hope he's incredible. I hope, you know, if Carr gets hurt this year, he comes in, leads him to wins, takes him to the playoffs, he's the starter going forward. Absolutely. I hope he gets his own new Netflix documentary because he's so good. So there you go. You're rooting for Penix. I'm rooting for Rattler.
And I'm with you on Rattler for obviously the same reasons. Watched the thing unfold, thought it was silly, to say the very least, that we're now holding his high school documentary against him as a pro prospect. Because, well, and even they talk about all the time, what do you want? You want a consistent character assessment, not one flaw 5 years ago. Ridiculous. Starting fives next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, Gary Danielson to join us at the top of the hour. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Hope you had a great weekend, and thanks for starting your week off with us. Today's my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday, daughter.
Yeah, she was born in Fargo. She's an only child. She's got a child of her own now. And life seems to be going pretty well for her. So, you know.
And you're a hell of a babysitter.
We were over the weekend.
Life wouldn't be going so well for her if it weren't for the babysitters, it looks like.
Well, at least this past weekend, anyway. We gave that. Our gift to her was 24 hours of babysitting. So we had the granddaughter from 11 a.m. Saturday to 11 a.m. Sunday, which is right before nap time. So, you know, we got her right before nap time, fed her, nap Saturday, and then had her all Sunday morning. And then it was like, all right, make sure you're here. You know, you take it from here. So they had a day and night to, you know, do their thing, spend it with family, friends, whatever they wanted to do, sleep in, which you don't get to do with a two-year-old. So that was our gift to our daughter. That's not bad, right?
It's a great gift.
Huh. Okay. So, you know, with the way things are going, I mean, we may have to, you know, have that be a side business. You know, we too can watch your kid for 24 hours, put a price on it and all. No? So, no? I actually think that'd be a hell of a business model.
I don't know if child services would feel about it, but
I don't know. I mean, you know, we two decent people. Heck, my wife, she fits all the training. I mean, heck, anyway. So that was a happy birthday. You know, she's not listening, but anyway, love you. Happy birthday.
The starting five stories you need to know. It's the Starting Five on Miller and Moulton,
Here's number one.
Well, the NFL draft came and went. And for you NFL fans, you got 4 months of nothing now. I mean, what? You going to watch the UFL? Come on now. But teams spent Saturday night, all day yesterday, signing undrafted free agents. And once again, just like the draft, your team signed the best undrafted free agent. Don't kid yourself. Yes, they did. You don't even know who they are, but they were the best. Do you know there were just 28 trades in the draft? The lowest in 10 years? And the Eagles made 8 of the 28 trades, which ties the record for most trades by a team in the draft. Patriots and Texans, I believe, in recent years, both had drafts where they made 8 trades. And speaking of the Eagles, they're going to sign Jets flop Mekhi Becton, which is going to raise some eyebrows because the Eagles have one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, and I think Jeff Stoutland's his name. Apparently, he's the one who said, get me that big fella. I can do something with him.
If okay. He fixes him to be right. A competent tackle, what would that say about the coaching in New York?
Uh-huh. That's exactly what it would say. Yep. Now, Becton, in fairness to the coaching in New York, was hurt and missed nearly two entire seasons in 21 and 22 and was still working his way back last year, but he played in 16 of the 17 games. So he's going to be the swing tackle, Mark, in Philly. And clearly what they're thinking is that, hey, they can bring him in, and maybe on the cheap, he can be the guy that replaces Lane Johnson in a year or two when Lane finally hangs it up. Remember, Stoutland took the rugby player who had, you know, never played football before, and he's made him one of the 3 best tackles in the game. Of course, the player had a little something to do with it. But the Cowboys, by the way, reportedly minutes ago re-signed Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott back with the Cowboys pending passing of a physical.
All in.
All in. Remember, Cowboys are all in. One thing I will say, because they need a wide receiver, and I don't think they drafted one, doesn't that scream that Odell or somebody like that, that they know they're signing?
It has to.
Well, you would think, you know, because also they didn't get a running back either, and they need a running back. So what are they doing right now? They're re-signing Zeke. I think they need to do more than that, but it also screams to me that one of the veteran wide receivers, Michael Thomas, OBJ, somebody like that you would think is going to sign with Dallas here real soon. All right, NHL. Tonight's game 5. Lightning at Panthers. This has been arguably the most physical playoff series ever, at nearly 150 hits in game 4. Nearly 150. It's ridiculous. It's awesome. And if the Panthers hadn't scored in overtime in game 2, this series would be 2-2, right? But it's 3-1 Florida. And for those of us that love hockey, we'd like to see the series go a little longer. We'll see if the Lightning can make it go a little longer, or if the Panthers finally get over that hump that has been Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, Mark, there's not a single series in the NHL that's 2-2.
Nope.
Vancouver scored 2 goals in the final 3 minutes of regulation, then scored a minute in overtime to beat Nashville 4-3 to take a 3-1 series lead, and they've had 3 different starting goalies get the wins. Amazing. Rangers sweep the Capitals 4-2. They scored 3 power play goals. Colorado with 3 in the second went 3-1 up on Winnipeg, beating the Jets 5-1. And the LA Kings outshot Edmonton 33-13. And they only took 1 penalty. The Oilers scored on that power play and beat the Kings 1-0. They're up 3-1 in that series. NBA. Jalen Brunson with 47. Here's my question. The Sixers had this really effective game plan against Brunson. They played a 1-2-2 zone. They put a big guy at the, you know, bigger defender at the top of the zone. It really gave the 6-1 guard problems. He penetrated into traffic. He had to shoot over a bigger guy. He really struggled in New York with that. Why did they go away from that? because he went to Philly and they went away from that, and he scored 39 and 47.
Right, set a Knicks record, playoff record for points.
Right, and threw in 10 assists to go with it. Knicks won game 4, 97-92. They're up 3-1 on the Sixers. The best series is the Clippers and the Mavs. And they genuinely seem to not like each other now either. So, all right, let's do it. Clippers blew a 31-point lead in Dallas. Kyrie was amazing, but the Clippers scored a few late to hold off the Mavs 116-111 and even that series at 2. There's only one other series tied at 2. That's Orlando and Cleveland. None of you are aware of it because the series has been shown on NBA TV. They're in the witness protection program. But at this rate, with all the other series seemingly going to end in 5, Orlando and Cleveland may have to get some national TV love at some point. TNT and ESPN are negotiating whether or not they're actually going to show it. Milwaukee, no Giannis, no Lillard because of injuries. Seemingly no chance against the Pacers, who won 126-113. They hit 22 threes, did the Pacers, in going up 3-1. And the T-Wolves swept the Suns right out of the playoffs. You know, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. Three guys all making 50 or more million for the next couple years together. Team way over the cap. No first-round picks after this year for the next 6 years afterwards. No second-round picks for the next 7 drafts. Virtually no way to improve their team. Yeah, that's the Phoenix Suns. Boy, it's a good thing that owner's a billionaire, huh?
Well, he got solid help. You know, someone who's done it before.
Who?
Isaiah Thomas. I mean, no one can run a team into the ground quite like Isaiah, and he's doing that now for the Suns owner.
And Isaiah's managing to do it without an official title. I mean, it's a gift. It is a gift. Tonight, by the way, Celtics try to go 3-1 up on the Heat. And OKC tries to sweep New Orleans out of the playoffs. And Denver tries to put LeBron and the Lakers out of their misery because they're up 3-1 and they're hosting game 5. One other basketball note, Candace Parker, one of the best to ever do it on the women's side, retired. Baseball. The Marlins are now officially the worst team in the league. Yeah. They blew a 7-0 lead last night and lost to the Nats 12-9. They're 6-23, which is a half a game worse than the 6-22 White Sox, who completed a 3-game sweep of the Rays over the weekend. Yikes. Atlanta over Cleveland, 4-3 and 10 by scoring 2 in the 8th, 1 in the 10th to win it. They took 2 out of 3 in that series. You know, it'd be an interesting. Cleveland doesn't really have the offense, but boy, do they have the pitching. That'd be a fascinating World Series. You know, they did it, you know, once before, almost 30 years ago. Just saying. Yankees, 15-5 over Milwaukee. They took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. Houston and Colorado played 2 games in Mexico City. Houston won them both. 8-2 was the final yesterday. Twins have won 7 in a row. They're above 500 just like that. One good week will do it. They beat the Angels 11-5. Phil swept the Padres 8-6. Did you see how the Cubs lost to the Red Sox? Dansby Swanson dropped a fly ball with 2 outs in the ninth. I hate when that happens. Red Sox won it 5-4. Craig Kimbrel blew his second straight save and then said, "May, my back hurts." That's not good news for the Orioles, who lost to the A's 7-6. Detroit 4-1 over KC. Toronto snapped the Dodgers' 6-game winning streak with a 3-1 win. Texas scored 4 in the first, beat the Reds 4-3. Diamondbacks 3-2 over Seattle. Giants for the same score over the Pirates. And the Mets with 3 in the 11th beat the Cardinals 4-2. NASCAR, Denny Hamlin went on a podcast last week and said, "I'm going to win in Dover." Mark, that's trash talk in NASCAR circles. I mean, you know, that's Babe Ruth calling your shot. He even joked about it before the race yesterday. So you know what Denny Hamlin did? Went out and won at Dover. And held off Kyle Larson for the win. He won 136, or led 136 laps. Ross Chastain still looking for that first win. And he slid all the way down the ninth in the points. He finished 12th. A lot of golf to talk about, Mark. PGA Tour was in New Orleans at the Zurich Classic. It's the team event. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry birdied 18 to force a playoff and then won the playoff. Career win on the PGA Tour, number 25 for Rory. He passed Gary Player and Dustin Johnson with that win. Some people make it a big deal. Should you get credit for a win if it's a team win? Mark?
Yes, absolutely. That's how the event's played. It's a team event. There's a winner. He won. I don't know what.
Well, just as, I mean, you know, some people like Randall Chambly, you know, who pointed out that Sam Snead, five of his 82 wins were team wins. None of Tiger's 82 wins were team wins because he plays so well with others. Hello.
I'm just impressed Rory showed up at this event.
Not only did he show up, Mark, he was singing afterwards. There's, I don't know if it was drunk karaoke, but a little Rory karaoke, I think, Don't Stop Believing. Okay, check it out.
It's a good song for him.
It's making the survey. LIV Tour was in Australia. They drew nearly 100,000 for the three-day event. Brendan Steele with a one-shot win over Louis Oosthuizen. Rom Schwartzel and Joaquin Niemann finished two back. LPGA Tour, Hannah Green repeats in Los Angeles, winning the LA Open by three. And at 8 minutes before the hour, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
So there you go. How much longer do you think the Marlins keep Skip Schumacher?
Let's see. According to David Sampson, today's the 29th. He's got today and tomorrow.
That apparently you can't fire a manager in April, right?
Right. So if it's May 1st.
Gotcha. So Marlins 6-23. Rays just got swept by the White Sox, who were 3-22 before the Rays showed up. Yeah. And the Braves just keep on keeping on, honestly. Ace pitcher out for the year with Tommy John. Whatever. Best record in baseball. Thank you very much. I feel badly for him because it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. Honestly. I mean, we know they're going to win like 100. They're going to make the playoffs. Probably going to win the East, although the Phillies are also off to a really good start. I mean, and then, you know, they're going to show up in October, and it's like, man.
Same thing for the Dodgers.
Yeah, totally. Hell, give it two more weeks. I think the Dodgers will clinch the West. The whole rest of the division is below 500. So there you go. That's our baseball talk and our baseball hour. Since based on what we hear, none of you give a damn anymore. Gary Danielson is next.